It's Sunday night. This is the first time I'm recording on a Sunday night for over a month. It's your host, Aaron Drake. I'm here with Connor Thomas. We're running a little two-man weave again. Connor, how we doing?
Hey, big Sunday night. Let's get it.
Let's get it. And as always, we are four guys in four time zones, Salt of the Earth men, making a podcast for Salt of the Earth men and women. We are four sheets to the wind. So we had our fantasy draft on Friday night, and there was just some funny shenanigans that ensued. Anytime you get the four sheets guys in the hardcore fantasy football league all together under one roof.
Google Hangout,
as we are all across the country. But so the night started off with everybody entering the Google Hangout, entering the draft, except for Alex. He missed the first like five guys in who went in the draft almost. And shows up hammered. Just starts calling everybody cucks all over the place. Immediately comes in. We do an auction draft. Buys Ezekiel Elliott and Le'Veon Bell for over
$67 for each. Honestly, not bad prices for the
Not bad prices, but to put that in perspective, that's like 60% of his entire budget right there.
Probably the standard $200 budget.
Yeah, that's two-thirds of his budget. So he comes in hot. And then we got Connor in the meantime. So we're doing a Google Hangout for those of you who haven't used it. It's basically like FaceTime, Skype, whatever, but you can get like 10, 12 people on it. So there's, what, eight of us maybe on the Google Hangout?
That sounds about right. Who wasn't in it? Zeller obviously wasn't in it.
Zeller, Sam, Bobby, Casey, I think.
That sounds right. So yeah, we got 8 of the 12 in the mix.
And Connor decides not to have his camera going, and so he just has his corny-ass corporate LinkedIn profile picture going the whole time.
Strictly audio, no video. My reasoning was, didn't want to let him see my poker face. This is high stakes, fellas. This is we got how much is on the line, Aaron?
I don't even think we've decided, to be honest.
We'll push for $100 buy-in. So.
That's what I was thinking. $100 seems reasonable.
Nearly a grand on the line potentially. This is high stakes stuff. This is high stakes chess, not checkers.
And Connor has historically been the worst manager in the league, and that's not even an opinion. That is Yahoo's algorithm. Has put out there that Connor is the worst manager in the league. Sloth, second worst manager.
Fuck the algo. Not respectable. What was that? Sixth place finish last year. Made the playoffs.
That's Connor's first time making the playoffs in 9 years.
Onward and upward.
Is that actually your first time making the playoffs?
We'd have to go back in the annals of history, but I think my highest finish ever was.
No, I actually have it open right here.
My highest was 5th out of 8th or 6th out of 12, I believe.
That's bad.
With that said, I did win my work league last year, so something to hang my hat on.
So those guys must have been scrubs.
I scrubbed the floor with them.
But so how do you feel about your team without getting into too many details?
To be honest, I feel better than I normally do coming out of a draft. Let's just put it that way.
So you knew your teams were bad instantly.
Well, let's just say hope springs eternal. I always feel pretty good coming out of a draft, actually.
Okay.
But I do like my team a lot. I mean, without going super deep into it, I got Julio Jones and Saquon as my bedrock right there. And Cousin Kirk, Captain Kirk in there is my key.
I do not feel confident about Saquon, to be honest.
Really?
The Giants' running backs have just not been good since Tiki Barber, I think.
Yeah, they invested a lot in the O-line this year. And honestly, I think they have everything invested in the it was such a big decision to pass on a quarterback with Eli clearly aging. The front office, the coaching staff, everyone is super invested in Saquon being successful.
That all makes sense to me. I'm just – the Giants' run game has just been – and their offense in general is not good other than the occasional Odell Beckham big play.
Yeah, but I mean, Odell, they also haven't – you could, I guess, counterpoint that with they haven't had a talented running back really since Tiki Barber. I mean
– true.
I'm trying to think who they've even had. Brandon Jacobs had one or two good years.
David Ware, wasn't he the guy who was good for like a season and then had that really tragic head injury or neck injury?
To be honest, that name doesn't even ring a bell. I couldn't tell you. David Ware.
He was a he played for like two seasons maybe. Regardless, moving on. We'll see about Saquon.
To answer your question, yes, I feel very good about my team this year. A couple of sleepers. Got Royce Freeman out of Denver.
The Mad Dogs were not exactly high on character guys, put it that way. We're fielding Joe Mixon.
Hey,
we're fielding LeSean McCoy. We're fielding Ben Roethlisberger.
You notice a trend here, listeners?
I think that's it, but those are, you know, starting QB and my two starting running backs. So
you have a common thread, and it's not a thread you want to be associated with.
You know, I said this during the draft, but the Mad Dogs, you come in a Mad Dog, you leave a good boy. We're here to build character and win championships.
The team big on second chances.
Exactly. All right, so we also are going to talk a little bit about the English Premier League. There wasn't a lot of news or sports going on. Well, there was the Michael Cohen, Paul Manafort news. That was pretty big news, but we do not really want to talk about that, nor can we talk about that intelligibly. We recommend everyone do their own research, though, and vote.
Rock the vote.
Rock the vote. We're big voting guys. I vote in the presidential election.
Yeah, I'm a presidential guy. I'm not getting out of bed for the midterms. You know, I'm not going to show my face in a local grocery store for nothing.
Should probably do more of my civic duty, but, you know, I'm on the podcast. If I can convince three listeners on the podcast to vote, I'm still net positive voting, you know?
Well, just two. What if you convince two people?
Well, yeah, I guess that would still be net positive. But three is just a better goal, you know?
I got to think we could probably get three people to vote.
No, this is what I meant. If it's three, then I'm making a bigger difference than someone who just votes themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Because Aaron, negative one, three listeners who voted because I told them to. It's two votes.
When is the next like thing to vote for? Like the Senate?
Probably November.
Is that, I guess that's the midterms, right?
Yeah.
Is that what
I think the primaries just happened in the summer.
I'm not fucking doing primaries.
Well, the primaries already happened in the summer.
I'm not doing them. Is that what the whole Beto versus Ted Cruz is?
Maybe. I don't know.
It's a big deal here. Ted Cruz is just a...
Oh, yeah. You're in Texas.
Real piece of shit. It's a big, like, what do you call it? Battleground state.
Yeah, because Texas got a lot of Hispanics. So it's shifting slowly more blue.
And I think Beto's a star in the making, they say.
Excellent. All right. Well, there you go. Midterm talk.
Hey,
four sheets though in for all your midterm talk. We'll be keeping it going weekly up through November, November 4th or whatever that date is.
That was four sheets on politics.
There we go. And but now we're talking a little English Premier League soccer. Chelsea, both of us Chelsea guys on the podcast today, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Opened up with their third win of the season. They've got the full 9 points. I saw that Sarri was like the fifth or sixth manager in a row for Chelsea to start off their career with 3 wins.
Really?
Yeah.
Impressive. Sarri ball.
Well, Chelsea's just kind of got that reputation of having good teams and then the players just bail on the coach and so they have to fire him, bring in a new coach, the players are re-energized and start performing, and then they get tired of him and they get fired and 2 seasons later. That's just a
virtuous cycle.
Pretty interesting, pretty boring game through about the first 70 or so minutes.
Oh, just brutal, honestly.
Marcos Alonso draws a penalty kick that was debatable. It wasn't an obvious penalty, so that was kind of whatever. And then
Hazard nails the PK.
Yeah, Hazard scores the PK, and then
first game starting. Also, we'll point that out. I was a little bit worried why he hadn't started the first two games, given all this Real Madrid transfer talk. Even though the EPL transfer window is closed, but players can still leave, I think.
Yeah, so the EPL transfer window closes when the season begins, and that's a new rule. But the rest of the world has a transfer window that's open, so they'll still accept people. So someone can decide to leave an EPL team, but an EPL team can't take anyone on. But I think that's over in just a couple days.
If not, yeah, it's got to be coming up pretty soon here, yeah. I imagine. But
if not already, even.
It is, from the sound of it, sounds like Haz is pretty happy at Stamford Bridge.
Dang, yeah. So then shortly after that, DeAndre Yedlin, American, elbows Giroud in the face. Should be a call, a penalty, or a free kick at least. It's not. Yedlin has an easy cross into the goal. David Luiz, playing absolutely no defense, just lets a guy run in front of him, head the ball in. Kepa probably should have blocked it. He got beat near post from a very easy to stop angle. They tie the game up. And then a few minutes later, Marcos Alonso scores after his shot is deflected, an own goal off DeAndre Yedlin. So it ended up being an exciting game.
A little bit of karma on the Yedlin throws an elbow and minutes later scores an own goal. A little bit of Scotland Yard justice for you.
Exactly. And then, so that was maybe the most exciting game. Maybe I'm not maybe. I'm obviously biased because I'm a Chelsea fan. But Manchester City drew Wolverhampton. That was a pretty surprising result. Connor, did you watch that game?
I saw most of that, yeah. Well, definitely surprising. Man City
without Kevin De Bruyne.
True, but
arguably their best player is out for a long time with a knee injury, I believe, that he suffered in practice.
If any team is equipped to handle a loss of a star player, though, it's got to be Man City.
Yeah, but still, I mean, anytime you take a top guy off of the team, it's going to hurt.
No, for sure, but they still are the 22nd best player in Man City would probably be a top five player on the Wolves.
Oh, comparing to Wolverhampton, yeah, I'm talking more like long-term ramifications for the league title.
Oh, no, for sure. For the league title, I think it makes the season a little bit more interesting. It gives a team like Liverpool or Chelsea a more realistic chance to have a shot at winning the title. If they can really keep pace or even be ahead of Man City by the time De Bruyne gets back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Liverpool looks the best for sure, other than City. Oh, but City drew on Saturday. But there was a weird game where Wolverhampton scored on a very clear handball when you looked at it via replay.
Yep.
So VAR, is it coming to the EPL, you think?
Yeah, I'd say in the next 5 years, if not sooner, I imagine the whole world's going to be using VAR. Seems like it worked pretty well at the World Cup this year.
I mean, watching the games now after experiencing VAR is just very, like, weird, where I got so used to it that now whenever something happens, I'm like, oh, VAR. Oh, wait, no, you can't go to VAR anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, realistically, it just seems the way that every league is going to go is, like, if we have the technology to get this right, why wouldn't we?
The thing about VAR is it's soccer is just way more subjective than most other sports calls, I think.
Mm.
Soccer's almost like if it looks like a foul, it is a foul type. Like a foul is a foul, and that's kind of how you define it almost.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's subjectivity in every sport, I think.
I agree, but I think
up to interpretation.
Yeah, at least to me, soccer seems to be more subjective. Regardless, what other interesting games happened this weekend? Manchester United and Tottenham play tomorrow. That's a big-time game.
A little Monday night soccer for you out there in England. Let's see. We had Liverpool and Arsenal both win. I think Arsenal's first win of the year under the new manager, Emery.
Mm-hmm. Well, they opened with a tough schedule, so they played City and Chelsea.
Yep.
Underdogs in both of those games. So it's not like they've been underachieving. They've just had a tough schedule. So we'll see how Arsenal shapes up in the end. They definitely could have beaten Chelsea last week.
Yep. And then who did Liverpool won versus Brighton on a Salah goal.
Who beat Manchester United last week.
Yep. Could be a big start for them.
So any other EPL thoughts?
I think those are the main results. Yeah, I'd say Liverpool definitely looks like probably the best team so far. Chelsea's 3-0, but not all like
two shaky games.
We definitely could have lost the Arsenal game, and we definitely could have drew today.
Yeah. You got a Chelsea hat this week. That's big news.
Ah, well, let's go there. So got a new Chelsea hat, Nike. Very excited about that. Fits like a dream. Sarr was actually wearing the same hat today. That's always good to have the same look as your manager. But on the other side of the fence, I ordered a Chelsea Blade polo. If you're not familiar with the term, it's the polo without a collar. Very big on the PGA Tour this year.
Rory McIlroy wears them pretty much exclusively now.
Tiger was rocking it at the PGA Championship last couple weeks back.
He was. It looked good.
So I go ahead and I've come across this online. Looks good. I want to get a new bit of Chelsea gear for the season. I currently have one jersey, one that I can wear in the office. So I ordered this Chelsea Blade polo, and our friend Rick, he has a Blade polo.
Our friend Rick.
You might know him.
Fellow podcast co-host, The Rick.
Connor. The Rick has a Blade polo as well. His folks, Chris and Terry, got him a Blade polo in Europe. And Rick suggested I size up. I go for the large.
And explain your issue with your size of your shirts. This is not the first size question you've ever experienced.
This is something that's haunted me most of my adult life. Do I wear medium or do I wear large? I own a bevy of polos that are size medium. They're Nike. They fit like a dream. I own a lot of t-shirts that I've got medium and I should have got large. I've gotten large. I should have got medium. So it's gone both ways. And on Rick's advice, he says, order, you should size up. I recommend the size large. And I put it in my cart as size large, only to switch back to the medium after going through my closet and finding that all my Nike polos are size medium. I wait my 3 weeks as I buy it from a European soccer shop. And I believe it was coming out of Manchester, England. And it just looked like a straight sausage casing. It's ridiculously tight on me.
Granted, you've been in the gym too hard.
Granted, I was coming off a big big arm day, so I tried it on the morning right after arm day. Sure, it was fit like a glove, and I said, "Ah, god damn it!" I was devastated.
Did you try it on again after you didn't have your pump anymore?
I tried it on that night and wasn't as tight, but still too tight for comfort. This is a shirt I'm wearing around the office. This is a shirt I'm drinking in soccer bars in. I'm not trying to fucking be. Look like I'm wearing a fucking Under Armour undershirt or something.
I'm a big loose-fitting shirt guy, for sure.
I'll take that over a super tight shirt, that's for sure.
You can tighten it up on the legs if you want some tight pants or even some tighter, more form-fitting shorts. That's fine. Those are almost even encouraged to some extent. But if you get tight around the arms and the chest and, you know, you've got – it's like short right up on your like belt line. It's just not a good look, I don't think.
I think a little tightness around the chest isn't bad, but I'm really against super short on the belt line and super short on the arms.
I agree. It's just less comfortable. Don't think it looks as good. Even if you're jacked, I don't think it like looks as good as just like a nice
– a normal fitting shirt.
Yeah, a normal fitting shirt.
I'm not trying to be swimming in the shirt. I mean, come on, guys like us, we don't lift for the health of it.
Well, speak for yourself.
So, needless to say, I had to return the shirt and a little nice little Saturday planned, ran some errands. I take myself to the UPS store. Guess how much they tried to tell me it's going to ship to send this baby back to Manchester?
I thought it was 10 bucks.
No, that's the money I had to pay to the UK soccer shop in advance. just for them to, that was the return postage. That was for them to send me a replacement. This is for me to ship it to the UK soccer shop.
$20.
Oh, I wish. $120 at the UPS store.
Oh, shit.
I was fuming. I mean, my choices are fucking own this shirt that does not fit me, or spend more than the cost of twice the cost of the shirt itself.
The shirt costs $60?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's an expensive shirt.
Well, that's the going price for a Nike polo these days, honestly.
I guess.
So I'm devastated, but the nice UPS employee tells me, why don't you check out the USPS? They often have better rates on international shipping. So I drive the 5 minutes, and luckily the civil servants tell me it'll be $23 to ship it back to the UK. And I say, I gladly pay that, coming off the $120 price gouging UPS store.
Yeah, that's insane. $120?
So I'll end up paying like $125 for this fucking jersey, this like
polo and hat. Oh, at least that includes – how much of that was the hat?
Like 25, so.
So you basically paid $100 for this shirt.
Between the initial purchase.
This shirt better get you laid, Connor. Holy shit.
Hey, who knows? I'll meet a nice posh broad from West London in town.
Yeah, maybe. Hopefully.
So just devastating to have to go through this fucking – return process.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Learn my lesson. You size up. You size up when you're ordering from England.
Buy American. That's the lesson.
You can say that again.
All right. Speaking of American, it's time to start talking American football.
Hey.
So we got the NFL season, I'm sure as all of you are aware.
Wrapping up preseason week 3 as we speak.
Me and Connor are going to do a little bit of an NFL season preview. We're going to walk through all the divisions, give our division winners, do some quick hits, and wrap it up with our AFC, NFC champs, and then our Super Bowl champs. So, starting off, AFC East. I'm not even sure we need to talk about this. Patriots.
Yep, Patriots by a mile. It should be minus 1,000 on the in Vegas. Not sure where they actually are.
The only question, I think, is if Darnold comes in and is a stud early on, then maybe the Jets, but that seems very, very unlikely.
Let's hit on that quickly. I just saw a headline tonight that that Darnold is heavily expected to be the week one starter.
Great. Love to see it.
As a fan, I'm excited.
I'm speaking as a fan on this one. Me and Rick talked pretty in-depth about the starting rookies last week, so I'll let you take this one.
So as a fan, I'm excited to see Darnold play. I'm very in on Darnold, but I definitely think I'm in the camp where you should sit for 8 to 16 games as a rookie quarterback, unless you're just a total prodigy, a la someone like Andrew Luck. Cam Newton. I think it's very rare that A, you're physically developed enough. I think you should hit the weight room for at least half a season. And more importantly, Most of these first round quarterbacks, they're going to pretty trash teams, and oftentimes trash teams have trash offensive linemen, much like the Jets do right now. I think you're really setting yourself up for failure if you come out week one or your first season, you're just getting annihilated. You're going to develop a lot of bad habits. You're going to develop a lot of tendencies to try to make up for your shitty protection. And unless you're a Cam Newton, Russ Wilson type, which Sam Darnold, he's a little bit of mobility, but he's definitely not in those guys' class. I think you're really going to set yourself up for failure if you're just getting fucking bombarded on – you're getting sacked 20 – or not sacked, but you're getting pressured and sacked 15, 20 times a game. You're really setting yourself up for failure. I think if the Jets were smart, you got a really solid backup in Teddy Bridgewater, who could even be a starter, honestly. I think he's been the best-looking QB so far from the Jets in the preseason. Why not start him for 8 games? Why not start him for 16 games? Darnold is already going to be if he starts right now, he'll be one of the youngest, if not the youngest, starter in NFL history, I think. The kid's like 20 years old right now. He should be playing for the next 15 years of the franchise, not to sell a few more games in fucking October in 2018. Your team's going to be trash regardless. So I'd prefer to see
Sam Darnold ride the pine for the whole season, but it doesn't seem like we're going that way.
Well, I don't know if the whole season's necessary, but I definitely get all your points. There are similar points I made last week where even if you're sitting behind guys like Teddy Bridgewater and McCown, who are fine pros, he's going to learn a lot in the first 2-3 months of a season that he'll be a better quarterback at that point than whether he's starting or not. And throwing him out there when he's at that level is probably better than throwing him out when at whatever level of quarterback he is right now. So I agree with everything that you're saying. Maybe not quite to the same degree. I don't think you need to sit him for the whole season. I think you really want to see what you have there. He's going to show something regardless of his line, whether he's a legit quarterback for the long-term success of the franchise or not. But it is a little nerve-wracking. But as a fan who does not care about the Jets, I'm excited to see Darnold out there, see if he's good, if he's not. It's always exciting to just guess guys' upside. You know, that's one of the best parts about sports is just seeing what could be. And Darnold is – he's at that level where could this guy be the best quarterback in the league in 6-7 years, you know?
I don't think it's out of the question, honestly.
It's not out of the question, but
I wouldn't stake my name on it. But
he has that potential for sure.
I think it's always good. Just the NFL, maybe more than any sport, is so dependent on one position being quarterback. You need these like superstars to take the torch. This generation of, obviously Brady's really the last of his generation. If you would argue that he's from a different generation than, say, Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Big Ben. That group is rapidly. I mean, those guys are all 35. Drew Brees. Yep. All right. I guess Brees is in that generation too. Do you count that as one group? All the guys that is named.
Brees and Brady, I feel like, are a half step above those guys. But
yeah, I'd agree. Just from the fact that Rivers like directly replaced.
I mean, Brees. The Rivers, Eli,
Big Ben, Rogers. Big Ben,
Rogers. Those guys are all definitely in a
class kind of era.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that, but. All of the above. Those guys are all 35 and above. I think you definitely want to have as many like young studs in there who are ready to step in and replace.
It seems like there are between Deshaun Watson, Carson Wentz, Baker Mayfield, maybe Sam Darnold, maybe Jared Goff.
What else you got? I mean, you got that. And then in between them, you kind of like the Cam, Russ Wilson.
Yeah.
A little disappointing.
Andrew Luck.
Yeah, Luck's been who hasn't played in 2 years. A little disappointed. I thought both Winston and Mariota were going to be a lot farther along than they are now.
I thought Mariota would be amazing. He's dealt with a lot of injury problems. I mean, he hasn't been great even when he's been healthy, so that's not
an excuse. He's healthy most of last year.
But Winston, I was pretty low on coming out of college, especially comparing to the average NFL draft analyst and just average NFL fan. Most people thought Jameis was going to be good. I did not think that whatsoever. I just thought he was such an idiot and made such poor decisions all throughout college that why would you ever expect this guy to be able to lead an NFL team? I get people love him and he's got some leadership characteristics, but if you're jumping on the middle of a fucking table in college while you're a Heisman candidate and yelling, fuck her right in the pussy, I do not care about much else, that is a clear demonstration that you make bad decisions.
Lack of judgment. If you're stealing crab legs from the local supermarket, lack of judgment.
And this isn't even getting into all of the sexual assault issues he's dealt with in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out on Jameis. All right, moving on to the next division. AFC South or North?
Let's hit AFC North.
All right, AFC North. I got the Pittsburgh Steelers. This was another pretty easy one for me.
Yep, I got Pittsburgh coming out of this division as well. Still got a lot of offensive talent. Big Ben's getting up there in age, but he's got arguably one of the best supporting casts. They just re-upped
him. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are the best running back wide receiver combo in the league, and it's not even close.
I think Brown is the best receiver, and I think Bell is the second best running back this year.
Who's the first best? Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I'd say Gurley.
Okay.
I think you could see Bell get off to a little slow start. It happened last year. He didn't play the
preseason.
Sat out all training camp. Yep. So I wouldn't be surprised if week one and two he's a little rusty, but by week three, week four, I fully expect Bell to be.
So who do you think the biggest competition to the Steelers is? I think it's probably the Ravens by default, but I don't love Joe Flacco. I think he's not very good. I think Jim Harbaugh is still riding that Super Bowl victory. John, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean. John Harbaugh is still riding that Super Bowl victory a little bit. Their defense is not what it used to be.
Fifth longest tenured head coach I just saw today.
That's surprising, actually.
Top five. Belichick and Marvin
Lewis.
Wait,
let me guess.
Okay.
Belichick, Marvin Lewis, because you obviously just said those. Sean Payton?
Yep, I think he's fourth. Or tied for third or fourth, yep.
Let me think here.
Guys, number three.
Number three, so is this the last one?
Yeah.
All right, let me think. Mike Tomlin?
I think he was sixth, I want to say. Him and Harbaugh came to the league the same year.
Okay, you said it was tough.
So I wouldn't have guessed if I didn't see the graphic on the screen today.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm trying to. Mike McCarthy?
Hey, ding, ding, ding.
All right, nice.
He's been there for a while. Kind of surprised.
I mean, he's just riding Aaron Rodgers to.
Kind of the same. He's got one Super Bowl ring. I feel like it basically insulates you.
I think Jim Harbaugh's is more impressive because Aaron Rodgers carries that team year in and year out.
Whereas winning a Super Bowl with Flacco?
Yeah, is a much more impressive feat.
I mean, look at the of those six we just named, Belichick speaks for itself. Marvin Lewis hasn't really won shit, to be honest. But all those other four guys we just named, I think each have one Super Bowl. Sean Payton has one.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy has one. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomlin has one or two.
I think he has two.
He might have two, yeah. They beat the Cardinals, and then they beat somebody else. Yeah, I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think he has two. And then
the first one was Cower, maybe, though.
Yeah, let's quick search on that.
All right, well, I'll keep talking about the AFC North. Browns, they're getting hype. Do not buy them. I do not think they're going to compete at all for that division win. They're riding some Hard Knocks hype. Every single year, the Hard Knocks team gets hyped up.
Nope, just one. Yeah, one as head coach, one as assistant coach. So
okay. And then the Bengals are probably going to be normal Bengals. They might win six games. They might win eight games. I don't think they're going to compete for the division. They might win four games.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much all the above. I actually picked Baltimore as one of my last pick.
Well, Connor, let's way to blow the suspense.
What? We're talking about this division. That's one of my takes on the division.
All right. Well, I thought we were going to do our wild card picks at the very end.
I actually could do it that way. I was just going to throw out who I'm picking in the division when we're in that division.
Let's do the wild card picks at the end. Keep everyone on pins and needles if we haven't picked their favorite team yet.
Fair enough.
All right, AFC South. Who'd you pick? This could be one of the more up in the air divisions, I think.
This is probably the toughest pick, at least in the AFC for me.
This one, along with the NFC South, were the toughest picks for me.
So I actually went with Houston.
I also went with Houston.
Hey, I think we're big Watson guys. I think the kid's got a spark.
Absolutely.
I'm big on Deshaun Watson. I think the Browns are moronic for fucking, I don't even know what they did. They traded
their pick for a pick that became Corey Coleman.
No, that can't be right. Corey Coleman was picked in 2015.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure they it's Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz was the pick that they traded for Corey Coleman's pick.
I think this one turned into Jabril Peppers, who had a pretty poor rookie year, if I believe. And
yeah, that sounds right, actually.
And Denzel Ward, who's the fourth overall pick this year, which shocked pundits and myself alike.
All right, back to the Texans.
All in on Deshaun. I think he has a big year. I'm a little concerned from a fantasy perspective. It was a small sample size. It was really only five games where he looked electric. He didn't start the season, then he got injured. And he's coming off, he's now torn his ACL in both knees. But all that aside, I think he's a stud. And I think their defense is going to come back pretty big this year, actually.
Agreed.
J.J. Watt supposedly healthy. Jadeveon Clowney supposedly healthy now. Did they pick up Tyrann Mathieu or lose him?
They picked him up.
Picked him up. Like that. Big Honey Badger guy. So I think the defense shows out this year. I think Watson takes another step forward as one of the best young QBs in the league. And Hopkins is top five wide receiver.
So who else do you think competes in that division? Because I think that Jacksonville and Tennessee both could be good teams this season. And if Andrew Luck is healthy all year, big if.
Mm-hmm, big if.
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts are in the mix. They're going to have that last place schedule. So they're going to have a much easier schedule than the rest of those teams. And Andrew Luck's a guy, when he's firing on all cylinders, has proven he can carry the Colts to the playoffs. Granted, that was back when the division was not very good. Yeah, but you got the Tennessee Titans, who made the playoffs last year, coming back. Theoretically, they would be better. Mariota hopefully plays. What?
They fired their head coach in a bit of a, some would say, questionable decision.
But you could also say, oh, the coach was holding them back last year, and now they're going to reach their potential.
To be honest, I couldn't even tell you who the new head coach is, but...
Yeah, I couldn't tell you either.
Oh, they
mean, oh wait, no, it's Vrabel.
It could be a little early for him to get the top gig. We'll find out.
It'll be interesting to see. And then on top of that, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars, who we haven't mentioned yet, and they almost beat the Patriots to make the Super Bowl last year. So you absolutely have to keep them in the mix. Their defense is going to be top five for sure.
Oh, yeah. If not, I think they're probably the best defense in the league.
Them or the Rams.
Yep, we'll get to their defense, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I'm going with the Texans, basically riding that Deshaun Watson wave. They've got their quarterback difference between him and Blake Bortles is just too much for me to pick the Jaguars.
Yep, that was probably tough. That was definitely a tough pick for me. I went with Houston, but I think Jacksonville's in for another big season. That defense is not getting any worse. Jalen Ramsey is the best corner in the league. I don't think it's close. They got the best defensive line.
I mean, there's some other good corners, but Jalen Ramsey is absolutely in that conversation.
Who else would you say is in that conversation?
Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah, Rhodes is good, but I definitely take Ramsey. Patrick Peterson was the name I was going to say.
Sure, Peterson's a big time corner.
But I lean Ramsey. I think Ramsey's an absolute stud.
Connor likes his corners sassy.
I like my Florida State cornerbacks. Kid's got a little Dion in him.
All right, so moving on to the AFC West.
Hey, my stomping grounds.
I know you picked the San Diego Los Angeles Chargers.
It rolls off the tongue. Los Angeles Superchargers. I think we might have retired that song though. Left it in San Diego.
Welcome.
The hollow grounds.
The concrete palace that is Qualcomm.
My childhood right there.
So I also picked the Chargers. I said this on last week's podcast that I would pick the Chargers to win this division. I don't really trust Patrick Mahomes, but the Chiefs are the other team that I think is going to be in the mix.
Yep. So let's do the process of elimination for me. I'm very not in on Oakland. I do not understand the hype around John Gruden. I think the man's living 15, 20 years ago.
Agreed. And their best player is not going to play, probably, in Khalil Mack.
Do you think he's really going to sit out the whole season? Or at least the start of it?
I could see it. I mean, and dude, him and Gruden have not talked since Gruden's taken over the team.
Wow. That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I mean, it seems bad. And it's not like Aaron Donald holding out with the Rams, where the Rams are going to be contending for a Super Bowl, you know?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And the Rams and Donald are in contact every single day. A deal's probably going to happen soon. Khalil Mack, they seem nowhere near each other's asking price. And you got to think of they're just going to trade him.
Wow. Huh. Well, even regardless of that, I didn't know it was that bad. I just assumed he was going to play just because it seems like holdout guys typically play. But with that even, I think they're definitely going to be the bringing up the rear end of that division.
I think Denver's going to be right there with them, to be honest. I'm not a Case Keenum believer. I think last year was a little bit of a farce. I have zero confidence in – what's his name? Len?
Lynn?
The head coach?
Vance Joseph?
Vance Joseph.
Lynn? Len? Jerry Lynn? Alex Lynn?
Who's the Chargers head coach?
Anthony Lynn. Anthony Lynn. L-Y-N-N. Well, that's just confusing two men who look alike.
Well, they're both first-year coaches in the same division.
They look like they could be brothers.
And they both, yeah, and they look similar, and they both weren't very good, so they were both on the hot seat all year. So I just constantly get those two confused.
I don't know much about either. I really was not pleased with Anthony as a Chargers fan. I did not understand the Anthony Lynn hiring. Minuteman had never been a coordinator. He was a running backs coach in Buffalo.
Well, he wasn't very good last year either, so.
Hey, but hope springs eternal in Carson. I think we're for a big year. Let's touch on KC real quick. So obviously they see something in Mahomes if they're willing to give up Alex Smith, who was pretty solid last year.
They see that rookie contract, which me and Rick talked about last week. Obviously they see talent. They traded up in the draft to get Mahomes 2 years ago.
I think it's a sad move, honestly. If you think he can even be 80% of Alex Smith to shed $14 million in salary, and then in theory you can add around pieces to the rest of the team.
And they've got great playmakers in Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill.
Added Sammy Watkins as well.
So yeah.
I think they're gonna compete, but I'm picking the Chargers to win that division. I think
Chargers also have their own playmakers, Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon.
Really solid year last year, staying healthy.
On the defensive side, they've got Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram.
One of the best pass rushing duos in the league. Derwin James, I'm expecting big things. My rookie of the year pick.
Didn't they just have a bad injury as the Chargers are?
I didn't use that word, right?
That was the word I was thinking of, but hey. It sounded funny.
No, we lost Jason Verrett, one of our corners.
No, Casey Hayward.
No, it's Jason Verrett.
I thought
his knee exploded for like the eighth time.
Casey Hayward just got injured.
Oh, with Casey Hayward, we are fucked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he limped off practice with what was probably a soft tissue injury few days ago.
Let's see. He didn't suit up for the game last night, but that could be any number of things.
Yeah, 5 days ago, Casey Hayward may have injured hamstring.
Not great, Bob.
All right, well, we don't need to go deep into that article, but there's some Casey Hayward injury.
Casey Hayward, potential. I'd say other than Bosa, or maybe even including Bosa, the most valuable player in our defense.
He
was a top five corner last year. We're talking great corners. I mentioned Casey Hayward.
So the difference for me is I just trust Phillip Rivers more than Patrick Mahomes at this point. I'm not a big Rivers guy, but, you know, you got to take the veteran guy. But Rivers is going to throw interceptions in the fourth quarter at least three times that change a game this season. So, you know, I don't feel good about this Chargers pick is basically what I'm getting at. When the Chiefs are three games up on the Chargers at the end of October – you know,
gotta think we're gonna figure out a way to not get off to our fucking 0-4, 1-3 stars we typically have in the years past. Hopefully, we've resolved our kicker issues. Apparently, we've brought in Bob Aguero.
Aguayo.
Aguero. Him and Caleb Sturgis are fighting it out to resolve our what seems to be a decade long kicking issues.
Chargers gonna charge. That's all I'll say about that. All right, wild card pick one. I've got the Chiefs.
Go ahead.
I think that Mahomes is gonna come into that Andy Reid system. Andy Reid's one of the best coaches in the league. He's got Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, good playmakers all around him, and I just think the Chiefs are going to be good enough offensively that they'll be able to make the playoffs. And I don't think the AFC is that good. So there's really only one other team that I was thinking about that would make the playoffs other than the Chiefs. And we'll get to them in just a second. But who's your wild card?
Pick one. Yeah. This is pretty easy. I went Jacksonville.
That's my pick number two.
Okay. Yeah, I felt pretty good about that. I also honestly went back and forth for division winner of the South. I think that defense is going to carry him. Honestly, I'm more of a Bortles fan, I think, than the rest of us. I think he does all right as a game manager. Big Fournette guy as well. A little concerned. I in my fantasy football research, came across he under 4 yards per carry.
I'm not a Fournette guy. I mean, he's just not that effective.
And they don't really have real dearth of receiving talent there. But
their number one receiver just got carted off the field yesterday too. Marquise Lee.
Oh, Marquise Lee. Okay. Huh. Well, regardless, going Jacksonville is my wild card one. Who do you got as wild card two?
I just said Jacksonville.
Okay. I actually went. I was did not feel great about this pick. Ended up going Baltimore. I think it's a pretty weak division. I could see them going 9-7.
Okay. I would be pretty surprised. Not shocked, I guess, but
to be honest, I just couldn't find a team. South was easy to find two in. I do not see anyone else in the East making it. And it was between it was between them and KC, and I just kind of flipped the coin and said, we'll go Baltimore.
All right, moving on to the NFC. We've got NFC East. This one also seems pretty easy. I picked the Eagles.
Yep, likewise. I think the only interesting thing would be, let's say Wentz's recovery hits a snag. I'm not really sure.
Is that interesting? They just won the Super Bowl with Nick Foles absolutely destroying the playoffs.
Nick Foles has looked god-awful in the preseason so far.
He also looked god-awful in the regular season after Carson Wentz got injured.
So that's what I'm saying. If Nick Foles is just absolute shit and Carson can't come back till week six, say they start 2-4, that could be a little might not be a given.
Sure. That could happen, but I think the rest of that team is good enough to win overcome. More than – yeah. At least go 500. Their defense is one of the – other than maybe the Rams and Jacksonville is probably the best defense in the league.
Yeah, I got them top five.
They're in that conversation for sure.
One thing I heard on the whole Wentz comeback debate, one thing they've said is that they want to almost have him there week one even if he's not ready just because let's say – I don't see this happening, but if Foles plays super well, which doesn't seem like he's going to, say Foles – I don't know. Let's say they want to bring him back week five.
I get what you're building up to.
If week five is the perfect time for Carson Wentz's knees to hold up in an NFL game, but Nick Foles is 4-0, can you really yank a man that has won you a Super Bowl and started the season hot? It's a pretty tough sell, especially if Wentz comes in and for whatever reason he doesn't feel right, feels a little skeptical of it, doesn't trust it, he goes fucking 1-3. You can't go back to Nick Foles after you just fucking ruined the man's confidence. You got a real controversy in your hands. However, I think you're playing for the next decade with Carson Wentz. You shouldn't be rushing this man back to avoid some sort of PR controversy. You have enough goodwill winning a Super Bowl. Do what's right for the man long term. Don't rush Wentz back. That's what I got to say about that.
I agree with that. You don't want to rush Wentz back, and I don't think Foles is going to – I think Wentz will be good enough where this is not going to be an issue. I'm pretty high on Wentz. I think he's really good. I think he could be a future MVP.
1,000%.
And Nick Foles absolutely does not have that ceiling. So I don't think the Eagles have a ton to worry about there.
I wouldn't rush him back, honestly. He tore it in, what was it, mid-December? And that's typically a 9 to 12-month injury. If you bring him, fuck it. If it's week 9, I don't care. Like, Foles is a good enough backup. They need to be 1,000% sure that his knee is ready for gameplay.
I'd agree. Moving down the rest of the division, Dallas, I'm not very high on. I'm not a huge Dak guy. Definitely not a big Jason Garrett guy.
The clapper.
Their receiving core is lackluster, to say the least.
Oh, that's massive weakness. You know, the number one receiver is a fifth-round pick.
Not good in general. So I don't – they're the Cowboys, so obviously they get a lot of pub. And Dak and Zeke are big names. Hopefully for Cowboys fans, they'll have Zeke back the whole season, and he'll probably be great. He always is when he plays. But a team that just relies that heavily on a running back and a quarterback that has not really proven to me that he can shoulder a load, carry an offense, just I don't see it there. They could go 500 or worse, absolutely. And I don't think they're going to compete with the Eagles at all. And then the Giants, I don't think they're going to be that good. They'll get Saquon. That's a nice shot in the arm. They'll probably be a few games better than they were last season, but that still puts them at like 6-7 wins. And then the Redskins, they're not going to be any good. They lost Kirk Cousins. They lost their starting running back, Darius Geis, in a preseason with an injury. They didn't really make any noticeable improvements on defense or to any of their skill positions. So there's just nothing to be excited about there. They're not going to compete for the playoffs. And so that's that. I guess anything you want to mention about those other NFC East teams, or should we move on to the South?
No, let's see here.
Or North.
No, so as far as Dallas goes, I'm saying under 500 for them.
Sure.
I think they've actually had a lot of injuries on the O-line, which is the last few years has really been their primary strength. I think where their team's been built around is having the best line in the league.
Yeah.
If they've got some injuries there, that's going to hurt Zeke. That's going to hurt Dak a lot also. I think Zeke's still in for a big season. I think they're really going to lean on him with the loss of Jason Witten and Dez Bryant. They could realistically have one of the worst receiving corps in the league this year. I think the number one receiver is Michael Gallup, who's like a fourth or fifth round pick. Other than that, really no talent there. I mean, Cole Beasley, a slot receiver. I'm definitely not sold on Dak myself. I think that he was basically a glorified game manager in a big market. I don't think he's proven that he can really carry the offensive load himself. And on the defensive side of the ball, a couple of good pass rushers. DeMarcus Lawrence had a big year for them last year. They got Randy Gregory in there.
Sean Lee's good, their middle linebacker.
Is he injured? I think he was injured last year. I don't know if he's
He was injured back. Last season. I'm pretty sure he's back.
Okay. Jalen Smith out of Notre Dame is there, but I think a real lack of talent on the defense and lack of talent on the in the receiving core really just leaves an O-line who's a little banged up right now in Zeke. I don't see too much talent on the team other than that. So I'm going to go ahead and say 6 wins this year for Dallas. I don't expect much.
All right. NFC North.
Oh, I mean, come on. I got takes on the Giants and Skins as well.
Okay, fire them all off. People are dying for the Connor Thomas Washington Redskins takes.
Let's see here. The Skins, I think, what did they go last year? 8-8?
No, not even that.
I think they're pretty much the same as they were last year. I think you could argue Alex Smith is a bigger or as good as a
QB. Better than Kirk Cousins?
I think you make the argument. I don't think it's a massive upgrade or downgrade either way. I'm a big Cousins guy, but I don't think that it's going to affect the Skins that much losing him, honestly.
I think Alex Smith was in a much better offensive ecosystem than Kirk Cousins was the last 3 seasons.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
And so you take Alex Smith out of Andy Reid's offense with a lot worse players around him, I think we could see Alex Smith struggle this season.
People do respect Jay Gruden.
I don't.
And then the Giants, I think they're in for another rebuilding year. I think Eli's one of the maybe definitely bottom 10, maybe bottom 5 star in this league now. I think Eli's pretty washed up. Saquon, I hope to have a big year, but I'm not expecting much from them either.
All right. I'm glad we went back so you could say that.
We went back. You literally gave your take on all 4 teams.
My take was that they weren't going to – all right, whatever. We don't need to get into this. So NFC North, who you got?
I got Minnesota. I think Minnesota's in for a big year with Kirk Cousins in the top 3 defense.
I also picked Minnesota. They have some other good teams in division, mainly Green Bay, and Detroit's made the playoffs a couple times recently, or at least once in the last year or two. And but I think Minnesota's in a class of their own above. They're in the elites of the elite with, you know, the Patriots and the Eagles and all those teams. The Vikings are right up there for me.
1,000%. I think we'll get to it, but I think Minnesota is one of the most well-rounded teams actually in the league. Kirk is a very solid quarterback. If Dalvin Cook stays healthy, he was one of the most explosive guys at the start of the season last year. Great receiving core between Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph.
Both of those guys on my fantasy team, might I add, Thielen and Diggs.
That defense is very solid at all levels. So yeah, I feel very
good. Zimmer's a really good coach.
Yep.
Yeah, the Vikings are going to be really good this season. After that, Green Bay, I mean, for me, Aaron Rodgers is always a playoff threat, no matter who's around him. So you can, as long as Rodgers is healthy, you can pencil them in for 10 wins, I think. I can't see them being better than Minnesota, though. So I think Minnesota's going to at least win 12.
Yep.
So I think there'll be a couple games up on Green Bay. It might be close for a little bit, but I think eventually Minnesota's going to separate themselves in that one. And then Detroit, you know, Stafford's good. I'm a Stafford guy. Matt Patricia, I'm not really sold on him as a head coach. What do you think about Patricia and the Lions?
Who's is that still Jim Bob Cooter as the OC?
I think so. I haven't heard anyone new. I don't remember hearing about him fired. And he was good, so.
Yeah, I think he's a good – I'm a big Stafford guy as well, but I don't think they have too much talent on their defense. Patricia is a defensive guy.
But he hasn't been – the Patriots' defenses have not been very good, and then it seems like Belichick just has – the defense starts off terrible, and then Belichick basically has to come in and clean things up throughout the rest of the season, and then –
I thought it was interesting. It really didn't seem that he was that upset or like tried to keep Patricia that much either. I feel like he was fine letting him walk.
Yeah, I think Patricia's a bad hire. So I think the Lions will be worse than they were last year.
Who was their head coach last year? Caldwell?
Caldwell, yeah. I mean, it's not like he's exactly a guy to get pumped on, but they made the playoffs last year, didn't they?
I don't think so. I really don't think they made the playoffs, but
yeah, I think they beat Green Bay in like the last.
I don't think they made the playoffs. They wouldn't have fired Caldwell, I don't think, honestly.
Was it two seasons ago they made the playoffs?
Yeah, that could be. Oh, I'll leave my shirt. They lost to the Seattle Seahawks 26-6.
Yeah, see? I thought they were in the playoffs.
Wait, no. That was 2 years ago. That was January of 17.
Damn it!
Look at the wrong Wikipedia article.
Fuck.
Yeah, I should have stuck to my guns.
All right, well, the Lions could win 6 games. That's about where I see them this year. 6-7 games. Stafford will win a couple, right. Pull some out of his ass like they always seem to do. And
yep. And lastly, Bears still rebuilding. I'm interested to see how Trubisky does. I was not very sold on him coming out of the draft.
Me neither.
I thought it was kind of a bizarre pick. The guy was not very good at North Carolina, but people seem enamored with the guy.
Mm-hmm. Nagy, I think, could be good. I just think
Nagy could be interesting.
The Chiefs are an interesting team. I mean, Doug Peterson was a Kansas City guy before moving on to the Eagles, and Andy Reid's one of the best coaches in the league. Their offenses are always dynamic, interesting, and productive. So Nagy was a big part of that. I'm interested to see what he does with Trubisky and Jordan Howard and Allen Robinson up there.
Yeah.
Still won't be good.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so do we want to move on to the NFC South? All right, NFC South. This was the most difficult decision of all the divisions for me. So I'm interested to hear who you have.
This was tough. I ended up going with New Orleans, actually, to win the division.
Okay, I went with Carolina.
Really? Ooh.
So I think this is the first one we disagreed on, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Probably will be the only one. I assume we picked the same team for the NFC West. But the South, I actually went back and forth. I wrote down Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so this is going to spoil my wild card, but New Orleans is my top wild card pick. And I wrote a line saying switch those and I put New Orleans as the winner and then crossed it out and was like, no, I'm going to leave Carolina. So
you had...
Do you ever have Atlanta? Do you ever pick Atlanta at any point?
No, I did not ever have Atlanta winning that division.
You have them in the wild card?
No, I do not have them in the wild card.
Okay, so I actually went. I went New Orleans, but I went back and forth between New Orleans and Atlanta to win that division. But I definitely think that's going to be the number one wild card team coming out.
New Orleans seems like the safest pick. I mean, Drew Brees is Drew Brees, so we don't.
I mean, offense is going to be super dynamic again. I'm big on Alvin Kamara.
I'm huge on Kamara and Michael Thomas. Those guys are absolute studs, both of them.
It'll be interesting to see how they do without Ingram for the first four games. If Kamara shines as kind of a
bell cow,
a larger role. Yeah, bell cow. I think he's almost better equipped to not be a bell cow.
Yeah, I could see that.
So it'll be interesting those first four games without Ingram to lean on.
I mean, and you got to think of if Ingram and Kamara are splitting carries, then they can just, if they can put 100% of their energy into half the amount of snaps, then that's just more energy per snap.
Yeah.
By math, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, if you're taking that away from Kamara, I can't imagine he's as efficient as he was last season. I think he'll be really good and still be a focal point of that offense, but I can't imagine they'll rely as heavy on the run game as they did last season.
He's a big pass catcher as well. I think that's what makes him so good.
Yeah, so I think Brees is going to have a bounce back year this year as well, because his numbers were not very good last season, but the offense was great. But I got to imagine, you know, Drew Brees is eventually going to regress back to Drew Brees levels.
He is. I mean, he's definitely getting up there. The guy's 38 years old.
Yeah, that's true. But that's true.
Father Time remains undefeated.
Tell that to Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, we'll confirm too. But yes, I got them winning it. I think Atlanta's another big year also.
See, Atlanta doesn't scare me as much. I don't know. Just losing Kyle Shanahan last year, their offense was just so much worse than it was coming off after that Super Bowl defeat to the Patriots. Matt Ryan is not a guy I've been a believer in at any point in my life. And
I think Matt Ryan's still pretty solid, honestly.
I mean, he wasn't that good last year.
Last year, but wasn't he MVP the year before?
Yeah, it was Shanahan, and I think Shanahan's one of the best offensive coaches in the league.
I agree with that.
We'll get to that division in a second, but I mean, you replaced Shanahan with Sarkisian, and you saw what happened last year. Their offense was just not that great.
Did they bring back Sark there for year two?
Yeah, Sark's their OC still. So there's just not much that excites me about that team. Whereas Carolina, Cam Newton, I think, is one of the most underrated players in the league, let alone underrated quarterbacks. So I'm a big Cam guy. I think he's just so hard to game plan for. He can do a lot of things. He needs to be more accurate, which, you know, that's a tough thing to just hope a guy's going to become more accurate. But he does so much else on the field that other guys can't do. And his running style is just, it's different than like the Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, like scramble around. He's one of the best short yardage runners in the game, let alone just quarterbacks. And once you get in the red zone, he's just such a interesting player and difficult to defend player. And then I think McCaffrey's legitimate and is going to have a huge season this year. So I really like their offense, and their defense is always solid. You've got Ron Rivera running the show. He's proven to be a pretty solid coach, I think.
Yeah, I think Rivera's solid.
And so
Kiku's got to stay healthy for that defense to really click, though.
So that's the one thing that was giving me doubts. It's hard to see a season where Kiku doesn't end up with at least one more concussion, which, you know, you hate to say it, but
dude, I really think Kiku should retire. Dude, I fear that guy's going to be like a vegetable. Like, that guy's been as concussed as anybody in the league.
Yeah, and he's so important to that defense. So that was what was giving me pause. It's just hard to see Kuechly playing the whole season. But when he's playing, that defense is going to be top-notch. And Cam Newton and McCaffrey are going to make the offense productive. And Greg Olsen hopefully can stay healthy this year after missing a lot of games last year with an injury. And, you know, Funchess can do enough as a receiver.
I think Funchess has a big year, especially with the departure of Kelvin Benjamin. He's going to be getting the majority of those red zone jump balls.
Mm-hmm.
But, nah, I'm going, I like Atlanta more than Carolina.
Okay, so, I mean, do we even want to talk about the Buccaneers? We kind of talked about Jameis sucking earlier. I mean, they're just not going to be good.
Yeah, I think they're a bottom three team. I have no faith in the Bucs to do anything. They could beat 2-14 easily.
Yeah, I could see it. All right, so the NFC West, I picked the Rams. I'm assuming you also picked the Rams. They're pretty heavy favorites for that division.
Yep, as did I.
So I guess the biggest threat is the 49ers, which sounds kind of stupid to say because they won, what, 7 games last year?
If that, I think 6. I want to say 6, actually. Then Garoppolo go 5-0, and they were
5-0. Okay, I couldn't remember if he went 5-0 or 6-0.
I think it's 5-0, and they had one win before him
against the Giants, who were
god awful.
Yeah. So, but I mean, Garoppolo is not going to go undefeated. I do think Shanahan's a really, really good coach, and I think Garoppolo's a really good quarterback. But the rest of that team is just lackluster. I mean, you got Jerick McKinnon and Alfred Morris in the backfield, and then
pretty awful
receiver. Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin's an interesting deep ball threat, I think, but
yeah, I think George Kittle can have an interesting year. I'm always a fan of seeing of tight ends and young QBs. I think young QBs are smart to lean on their tight ends. I think you could have a decent year for them, but honestly, just not other than Garoppolo, I don't think there's very much talent on that offense. And the defense is a similar problem. DeForest Buckner's a really good DN for them,
mm-hmm.
but. Other than that, I don't really think there's not enough talent to carry that team into the playoffs just yet.
I agree with that.
Rebuilding mode still.
And the Seahawks are going to take a huge step back this year, I think.
That seems to be the trendy opinion out there. Real big regression year for them.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Wilson's going to be good enough where if they won 10 games, wouldn't shock me. But
ooh, I do not see that this year for them.
I'd be surprised at that.
Yeah, for sure.
They lost so many guys on defense, and, you know, their offensive line is going to be terrible as always. Their running back situation is always atrocious. So it's basically just the Russell Wilson show up there right now. And that's not going to be enough to compete with the Rams, at least, who could be the best team in the league.
Pretty surprised they haven't traded Earl Thomas out of there. Seems like that's something you could get something for him, and he clearly does not want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, trade him to the Cowboys, trade him to the Chargers. There's lots of guys. He's a very talented safety. He's young enough to still contribute on a team. I think you could have got a third or fourth round pick for him, potentially. I'm really surprised that they weren't able to figure this out. They're clearly they should be in rebuilding mode, at least on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson, you'd think could be good enough where you could tear it down and try and build something up around him.
On the fly.
In the next couple years and see if that's going to be a contending team again. In the NFL, anything's possible, especially if you have a top-tier quarterback, and I think Russell Wilson's a top-tier quarterback in the league at this point.
The guy's an Iron Man. He's never injured also.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be shocked if he's a second kind of chapter of his career with them. So I don't think you need to tear it down completely, but – someone like Earl Thomas, it feels like you should get something for him and rather than...
you still can, yeah. All right, and so then the last team to talk about, the Arizona Cardinals, they're going to be fucking bad, I think. And the most interesting thing with that team is Josh Rosen going to play and is he going to be good? David Johnson's going to do his thing. He's going to be a really good high-volume guy. But, I mean, their offense is going to be so bad, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of time before Rosen gets in there. I think I have him as the most pro-ready of the rookie QBs this year, actually. And I think it's just a matter of time before Sam Bradford
gets hurt.
Brutal bones do what they do. Mm-hmm. I think Rosen gets in there by, I don't know, week 10, week 8.
They've got a rookie head coach, too.
Steve Wilks, I believe his name is. Expect David Johnson to come back strong. Kind of a fluky injury. It wasn't like a knee or an ankle. It was a wrist injury. expect him to be a top four, top five running back again.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Fitz is old as hell, but still productive.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm picking them to bring up the rear of that division.
Mm-hmm. All right, so your AFC champs. And obviously these are stabs in the dark. You know, we're not going telling you to go out there and bet all your hard-earned cash. But, you know, for the hell of it, we got to pick someone and then stand by that throughout the season so we can give each other shit when someone's picks are bad.
So AFC, I'm going repeat. I'm going New England. I think Tom is going to be possessed.
Me too.
He wants that sixth ring. Belichick wants a sixth ring.
And it's the Patriots. I mean, you look all up and down that conference and you think, all right, what's the most likely team to win this conference? And if you've come across anything that's not the Patriots, you haven't been looking at the last 15 seasons.
Yep. I honestly don't even know who else I'd pick. Maybe the Chargers would be my second
Pittsburgh
pick.
Pittsburgh, maybe.
That's another kind of.
You got Ben Roethlisberger's won Super Bowls, and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell are just really fucking good. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the Texans, if Deshaun Watson is better than he was even last year.
I still think they'd be at least a year away. The guy's only played a third of a season so far. I just can't see it.
Yeah, this early. That would surprise me too. So.
I think New England is
Patriots by default. The NFC is a lot more interesting for this conversation. So who are you picking between in the NFC?
For me, it only came down to two teams, actually. Philly repeat was one avenue I could have gone down, but if you just look at his history, it's very rare for a repeat Super Bowl.
That's what I was thinking also. Philadelphia definitely has the talent and clearly the acumen and experience to rely on, but just a team going back to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row is just very unlikely that I don't expect it to happen.
Yeah, my logic was like, there's no way, I just cannot see a repeat happening. And to me, it feels more likely that New England is just possessed and Belichick and Brady want to get back there and Philly kind of rests on their laurels.
Well, all these rules don't even apply to the Patriots.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that it does. I'm saying that there's no way that both get back, and I think it's more likely that New England gets back.
Oh, you're saying a repeat matchup.
Yeah, I'm saying that a repeat matchup never happens, and I think it's more likely New England goes back. And plus, Philly's going to start off slow, I think, with the with either Wentz on the bench or Wentz playing but not at 100%. So I actually ended up going with Minnesota, as I alluded to earlier. I think that arguably the most well-rounded team in football. Really solid QB, super talented skill position players, and I think their defense is talented at all three levels.
Wait, did we ever do our second wild card for the NFC?
Kind of alluded to. I had Atlanta.
And New Orleans, or Carolina?
No, I had Atlanta and then Green Bay, actually.
Okay, I also had Green Bay.
Hey, great minds.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, I don't think we need to get too heavy into that. That's just a Aaron Rodgers pick, right?
Yep. For me, it was really just the fact that I think there's no good teams in the NFC East or NFC West other than those division winners, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Atlanta was my first pick, and then it was either Green Bay or Carolina, and I went Green Bay.
I was debating between those three, and I went Green Bay also. Well, not Carolina, but Green Bay. Yeah, Green Bay, Atlanta.
In New Orleans?
Well, New Orleans was the auto. They were shoo-in, I thought.
Was New Orleans your division winner?
No, they're a wild card. Carolina's the division
winner. Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, Green Bay, the Aaron Rodgers pick. But go back to your Vikings talk.
That was about all I had, but so I'd say, yeah. I think
so you're between them and the Rams?
No, I was actually between Philly and Minnesota.
All right, fuck you. So I picked the Rams to win the NFC.
Really?
I mean, you just look at that Rams team last year and the upgrades that they made in the offseason, going mm-hmm. from Sammy Watkins, who was not good last year, improving him, taking Brandon Cooks, who's, you know, he's not an elite receiver, but he's up there. He's a very, very good receiver. Absolutely an improvement over Sammy Watkins and Tavon Austin.
What did Cooks do for New England? I feel like I expect him to have a bigger...
He was pretty good. You look at his... I don't know if you want to pull up the stats while I'm talking about the Rams. Yeah, but I got it right now. And then you just go on the defensive side and you upgrade. You lose
1,080 yards, 7 touchdowns. I mean,
that's fine. That's fine, better than Sammy Watkins.
Okay, but I don't think he's a. You're saying he's an elite. I don't think he's a top five receiver.
I just said he's not an elite receiver.
Yeah. What did you say before that?
He's up there in that next tier.
I don't know.
Like
about
with
that
the
either.
Doug Baldwins and guys like that.
I don't know. I mean, neither of those guys I have is like top one or two or tier.
All right, fine. He's a Pro Bowl level receiver.
All right.
Absolutely an improvement. Is basically what I was getting at. And then you've got on the defensive side, you got Ndamukong Suh just destroying guys up the middle with Aaron Donald, who's probably the best player in the league that's not a quarterback. And then you add dynamic ball hawk corners in Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters.
Yep.
And then
that's gotta be the best
deal.
You
think, all right, these are gonna be all these new defensive guys. Well, guess what? We got Wade Phillips, who might be the best defensive quarter in the whole league, game planning for these guys and making them all fit and utilizing them in the best way possible. I think that defense is just gonna be lights out. And then Sean McVay, I just have all of the faith in the world. I mean, he turned Jared Goff into a upper echelon quarterback after people thought he was going to be one of the biggest busts of all time. And Todd Gurley is probably the best running back in the league. I expect him to have another huge season. So this Rams team is going all out right now, clearly based on their offseason. And so they got that bitter taste of defeat in the first round last season. And, it was just a ugly game from them where I feel like they're going to come back fully motivated, very confident, and are just going to be able to get it done. But I was debating between them and the Vikings. New Orleans, I kind of half thought about. I mean, Drew Brees and Sean Payton have won Super Bowls before. They've got so many good skill position guys. But I don't have a ton of faith in New Orleans defense. But the Vikings are absolutely the biggest threat in my mind. I mean, as you said, super well-rounded team. But I just like the Rams a little bit more.
Yeah, that's fair. The only way I can see the Rams not being successful is it's kind of that whole super team who all these pieces be able to come in and mesh from the start.
See, I think the super team stuff is just like when all those acquisitions were first going on, other people were talking about it. But coming from the Rams, no one's acting like this is going to be like a big deal at all. Like everyone seems very nonchalant and is just excited about what they're going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're not hyping up themselves as the super team or anything. They're just like, hey, like we're going to be good. We're working hard. Sean McVay's super forward thinking guy. So,
I think they're a big year, just devil's advocate.
Sure, sure. That's the argument against them, definitely. Mm-hmm.
I got Minnesota as the one seed and then either them or Philly, two or three, flip a coin. I might say LA actually gets the vibe and then Philly knocks them off.
So who do you got? Vikings or Patriots winning the Super Bowl? I got the Rams.
I got the Pats actually.
Okay.
Yep, I gotta think that Brady's gonna get that 6-1, Belichick's gonna get that 6 in there. And then I think they both ride off in the sunset potentially if they get it.
See, I just like the Rams. I think whoever's going to win the NFC is probably going to win the Super Bowl. I just think that conference is so much better. And, you know, I picked the Patriots to make the Super Bowl because who else are you going to pick almost?
Yeah.
I don't love this Patriots team, but they're the Patriots. And there's no other clear standout in the AFC, so.
Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
All right, so any other thoughts? Or should we wrap this up?
Let's see.
Trying to think of awards. You have a MVP picks.
Jared Goff.
Oof.
No, I'm just kidding.
Kirk Cousins.
No, I would like that. I would fucking love Kirk
those,
Cousins.
Those, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I guess. If I had to, if I had to pick someone, it'd probably be Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe Zeke?
No.
I don't fucking know. I threw the question out there without having an answer.
Okay, yeah. We don't need to talk about MVP. Those are always just kind of fluky in the NFL. All
right. I think it's about all we got.
That's all we got. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. And enjoy the NFL season.